Shabbat shalom, peace and blessings. This is a day that the Most High has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad about it. It's another Sabbath lesson, and you are tuned in to The Awakening, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I am Fee the Preacher, and our lesson today is we're going to be talking about Yesha, the original strange fruit. One of the originals, if you understand what strange fruit is. We'll get into that a little bit later as we get ready to break down our lesson. I'm sure that brings to mind a very familiar song, very popular song, once again, as of now. But to talk about the sojourn of a people, that ties into this lesson and what this is all about. I make no apologies for speaking to the social ills that have befallen my people and some of the problems that we're going through, because believe it or not, the timepiece is centered around the awakening of our people, coming into the knowledge of who they really are as a people that were created in the image of the Most High and that He chose, which is one of the biggest kept secrets in the world. So we'll no longer abide up under His story, but we are discovering and learning our history. And it goes outside of the 400 years that we have been in captivity since the first slave landed at Point Comfort, Virginia, 1619, of the southern tribes of Israel, and finding out that the indigenous of this land and the aboriginals of Australia and the original Puerto Ricans and Caribbean, Dominicans, Haitians, Pacific Islanders, Hawaiians, all of scattered northern tribe Israel, Jerusalem, that was scattered and became the indigenous of all these lands that were purported to be discovered by Spaniards and Columbus during the Spanish Inquisition. They were actually seeking out our people to try and destroy us and chase us off the land for not wanting us to understand who we are as a people. My endeavor is not racism. It's the fact that the truth will set you free. When you come into the understanding of who you are, you change who you are. You can change who you are. You can change your community, change your family, change young people who seem to be on a millennial road to nowhere, destruction. So history is a part of evolving information. It's not just that it's power. It's life-changing, and it's being unfolded. It was just a week ago or two that they found more of our Hebrew history book, which this world calls the Bible, that's been scanned through, changed, transformed, words put in, words taken out, words changed, all to skew us from understanding what it's about. And then putting us in a particular region where we cannot read and then exegete the scriptures that you help will, that you think will allow you to continue to establish your control through a mechanism called slavery. Then finally, we begin to come back to reading and understand that this book was about us and the sojourn of our people. Now, we are not against anyone sojourning with us, but you sojourn with us, you will abide by the oracles that were given to us by the Most High in the name of the commandments. That's right. You can't be a part of the kingdom. I didn't say Christianity because we don't espouse the Christianity, because that goes back into the Byzantine area, the Hasmonean dynasty, where people were worshiping false Greek myths and gods, and they called those people Christians as well. I'm talking about walking in the kingdom of the Most High. Every kingdom, city, government, community has a leader and a set of standards and rules. And that's what brings us back to understanding that the commandments are indicative of our culture. Here, Black Cultural Restoration Association, our desire is to restore the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. Yes, they found more fragments of our Hebrew history book just a couple of weeks ago. The last time that was done, I believe, was in the 40s, maybe even the 60s, fragments that were found in the Qumran caves. And let me tell you something, people, that when they find these fragments, they know it's not more information and documents to beat the people into religion and try and control them through religion. No, they know that this is a prophetic book, prophetic history that's going to give them insight and keys as to what will befall us, the world, and the world to come. Which is why when they find these fragments, they call in scientists, anthropologists, and the FBI and the CIA to cordon places like this off. You wonder why they even followed Malcolm X over to Mecca and when he went to Egypt, because they knew he had influence in the United States and they didn't want him stumbling on major information that he would come back and reveal to our people about who we are as a people and our responsibility in the earth today. So that's what we desire to do, is to go over history, current events, talk about some current events, because I think it pertains to us as well. So we don't just cover the past of the prophecy. We cover what's coming, and we look at how it's shaping itself. Then, of course, at the end of the lesson, we desire to encourage you and exhort you through this encouragement of scriptures, prayer, and meditation, that you'll hold fast to the Most High Yah. Keep him in your life, because if you're going to be spiritual, you got to connect with the one and only Creator. All of these other gods that are being worshipped are man, are their fallen angels, deities that do not trump or overpower the Most High Yah. None of them do. They have to move according to his plan. He's in control, which is why we give you information to open your eyes and hope that it will make you want to form a relationship with the Creator, so that you're not walking around here in so much fear of a silent disease, silent terrorists, silent death, and a coming war, so that we can try our best to focus on the hope that lies ahead. As I was stating earlier, I speak to my community first and foremost. Those that choose to be John Browns and sojourn with us, but you will abide by these statutes, laws, and commandments. That's what makes us kin, because we're walking in the same direction to the beat of the same drum, serving one Yah and not being snared by religion. Because religion, with all these different names, Christianity, Buddhist, Muslim, seeks to control you and slave you and keep you in bondage. But where the spirit, the Waruwak of the Most High is, there's liberty and freedom, and you realize that all things are yours to claim through him. This is the integrity and heritage and legacy of our people, realizing that they were the indigenous, the first, and the teachers of this planet. And we need more teachers. And my job is to help awaken the masses, encourage, inspire the masses, reveal the lies, uncover the lies, reveal the history and the truth, and hope that it will bring back a regalness and royalty to my community, so we will stop looking to other nations to alleviate and solve our problems. Our job is to connect back to our Father, the Most High, for the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And he's tired of us leaving him and what he has planned for us to be like the other nations when they want to be like you, because they know who you are. Let's come back to our culture. Let's come back to our people. Let's come back to our God that looks like us, because we were made in his image. Let's function underneath the guise of our spirituality, and let's build a relationship with him. Let me say this one scripture before I move into the current events and the news. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 is very clear when he asks, this is during the time of judgment, and people start rolling off their mouth and tongue and lips about all they've done for him in his name, in the name of religion. I did. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, guess what? He didn't say, I never knew your church. I never saw you go to church. No, he said, I never knew you, meaning that you didn't have a personal relationship with him. New Age is trying to thwart you from having a relationship with the creator of your temple and the sparker and igniter of your spirit strength, the Most High, Yah. Don't alternate. Read the book that was written and inspired by him and pray in your home. It's good the churches are closed so you don't feel like running to the building has solved your problems, as opposed to bowing down, posturing oneself, meditating and praying on his words and his creation, the creator and what he can do. With that being said, let's go ahead and get ready to get into the show and the lesson for today. Got quite a bit of stuff I want to explain and talk about and cover. But, you know, it is my prayer in the name of Yeshua that shackles and chains are broken and that the scales are removed from your eyes so you can see clearly some of the things that are happening in our world today. Which is why I think I want to start off with some, I don't normally do this. I'm going to start with some current events and some news. I didn't get a chance to come on this past Wednesday. Let me say this, because I was celebrating Hebrew New Year because that was the beginning of the vernal equinox to me. And the new day started where it was equal parts day, equal parts night in our motherland. The scripture says Jerusalem is mother to us all. Not Africa, because back then it wasn't even named Africa. You look it up. You know, we got people that are saying it wasn't named after Leo Scipio Africanus, and that African is a Hebrew word or Jewish word. But listen, bottom line is that it had many names, and there are many different maps, but it has nothing to do with the homeland, which is being trodden down now by Gentiles. According to prophecy, the Gentiles are in control of that land. And our Hebrew New Year comes from books that they've taken from us, the Book of Enoch, and an understanding of the Essenes, who were a staunch group of believers that kept the commandments to the T. It was the Essenes that had that room prepared for Christ to have the Passover and the Last Supper. It was the Essenes that you may have heard of, the Zadok priesthood. They were a part of the Essenes, and the calendar was 364 days broken down into segments, and you'll only learn that if you understand the Book of Enoch, which a lot of people, camps, are saying that's a false book, but it's keeping you away from information. That book, the Book of Jubilees, these books tell us about the original Enochian Essene calendar as opposed to the Julian and Gregorian calendar. So we're in the times of a new year right now. This is the time of a new year. So I had a chance to celebrate that on Wednesday, which is why I didn't get a chance to do the Health is Wealth podcast, where we go into herbs, different foods, and talk about the vaccinations and sicknesses and how to overcome it naturally and holistically. We'll pick that back up in the coming week, Most High willing. So now we know that right after, and look, Happy New Year to a lot of you who are just now celebrating it. Some are actually celebrating the Passover this weekend. So hats off to you. I'm glad you're doing it. What I don't like is you saying you got it right. Nobody else has it right. We're not going to tolerate that over here because we know when the Most High comes back, he's going to put us back all on the right calendar. He's going to change the language, change his name and our name so that we can worship him in one consent. What he wants us to do is do the best we can do because the Book of Jasher and Jubilees told us that man would think to change dates and times and we would err concerning the holy days. And the only thing we're supposed to actually be looking at is the sun and the stars, not the moon. And too many of us are following lunar calendars and not solar calendars. So there's so much separation between us. We have sometimes just trying to find the things that we have in common so that we can come together. And in the meantime, say, blessed be the ties that do bind us. because, well, anyway, like I said, for those of you who are saying that you got it right, nobody else does, don't do that. Because it's just a way of you trying to get people to come and sit up under you and increase your funding. Why don't you just be celebratory that our people are waking up and ask the Ruach, which is the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide them into all truth. I know since I began to wake up some many years ago, I have learned things where I've had to come back and say that was wrong. And I've learned not that much pride where you can't admit you made a mistake or you are operating from a very small spans of truth that has expanded over the years and more revelations have come. So therefore you grow and you explain this to people so that you don't intimidate people and try to lord over people. We shouldn't try to do that. I want to talk about some of these current events because it kind of ties into where we're going today and to help and help us to keep seeing how Israel, which is us, Israelites were the original, that you want to call Christians. Well, we actually had nothing to do with Christianity. There's so many things, if you do the etymology and study of the word, you'll find out that word has been abused over the years and misconstrued and misunderstood. Even if you look in the Jewish encyclopedia and it breaks it down, and it was around way before Yeshua HaMashiach, whom this world calls Jesus Christ, showed up, and they tried to pin that name on his movement. And we would call it the way, we would call it the branches, we would call it the kingdom, we would call it the bride of Yeshua, many different names, but we never have been a group of people to try to take a label. That's what this world wants to do, label you so they can better get an understanding of you and pigeonhole you and box you in. And when it comes to Yeshua, there is no label, because this is a cultural understanding. And that's what we're trying to get you to understand when we explain this Hebrew sojourn. This is a cultural awareness. And it was written by Lerone Bennett very well. After people, your culture is indicative of your God and your style of worship. And once you begin to acclimate to someone else's culture, you begin to forget the cultural understanding of your spirituality and your God. And you take on a whole nother essence and presence. And we know what that brings on, Stockholm Syndrome, where you begin to love your oppressors and want to take care of them and worship them. Stockholm Syndrome was effectively achieved when the images of a false Christ, of a European person, that was the first one, Caesar Borgia's son. Then it was done again in the 50s, another false image. But during the Hasmonean dynasty, it was Serapis. All the same looking images, and these people called Christians had nothing to do with us being Hebrews and following the custom of the Hebrew God, the one and only true God, and keeping our commandments, our laws, and our way of life. It's been changed and transformed into something else. And now we're waking up and building relationships on our own. We're coming back to our cultural awareness and understanding, which brings about the proper spirituality and what he wants from us, which is to keep the commandments. Let me say something to you, since we're getting into history, before I read these current events. During the time of Serapis, which was also during the time of Antiochus and Antiochus and the Maccabees, you find this in the book of Maccabees, that particular dynasty is where you started to have converts that begin to become Jews and Judaism, which led to the time of Herod, and those converts stayed in there. There's always been a mixing of people trying to be us, but we're not us. And today we call those people the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. I know those that say they are Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. And Jews is only indicative of Judah. It's an offshoot of the word Judah. So have we forgotten all about Reuben, Gad, Benjamin, tribe of Joseph. Right. It's 12 tribes. So these people were converts that got into high political positions that wanted Christ crucified. And while we became Hellenized Jews because we began following Greek customs during that time, it's so important, people, for you to do the research with your history books, encyclopedias, anything you can get your hands on that was printed before the 50s, especially in the 30s, the 20s and 30s, before they really started altering the information. And especially if you can get something from 1700s and 1800s, which we do have a book here published in the early 1800s called The View of the Hebrews or The Tribes of Israel in America, written by Ethan Smith. This is when you start to get into firsthand scholarship and original testimony of people that saw this witness eye to eye, put it on paper. Not a rewrite, not an edit, not somebody heard or somebody exploiting new history books and then reading what they wanted to say, read something else into it. No, firsthand information before they saw, they could see the dangers of printed information in the hands of the learned slave that could comprehend and read and knew that something wasn't right with the religion that you were beating into him while holding a picture of a Eurocentric man saying, worship him, beating it into him while raping his wife and his children. And doing all this after your Sunday heliocentric worship, Sunday church service, you and all the other Caucasoids would go out to a picnic and have a picnic and lynch one and cut the body parts off as souvenirs. There's some horrible things that have been done in this country that people don't want to pay penance for. But to my people, let's lose the Stockholm syndrome and shake yourself and allow this awakening to happen and to transpire. In the news today, I want you to hear this because you're not getting any news and you don't know what's going on out here, but there's a front of multiple things going on besides vaccinations and a false virus. There is a strain that they put out there, but you can beat it. It has a 0.03% death rate. So it's all about just fighting back like a flu or a cold or a pneumonia. You can overcome it. And it's really attacking those who are unhealthy anyway, that have never listened to us when we tell you you've got to change your diet, start taking supplements and detoxing every day in order to survive. And then there's the others who don't want to listen to the fact that there's so many frequencies out here and the radiation is so bad that it's altering your chemistry and causing oppression, depression, and suicide to be at an all-time high, along with these existential threats that we have to deal with. Let me read this to you in the news today. We'll talk a little bit about it because I know that a lot of people don't know this. It's an article from whatdoesitmean.com. Russia freezes relations with America as biblical surge in food prices becomes a global crisis. I love when they say biblical proportions because you never hear them say Quranic proportions, Book of the Mormon proportions, Book of the Dead proportions, or Mao Zedong book proportions. They always say biblical proportions but want to renounce and deny this Hebrew history book that talks about prophecy for the whole world and the sojourn of a people. They want to deny it, but you can't. Reason I want you to see this, you're going to hear quickly, because I want you to realize that we're closer to a new world order, which will lead to Armageddon, which will lead to a restoration of our people and those that support and believe in us and the Most High in the proper fashion. All of this is the culmination of events will lead to that. Ministry of Defense. U.S.-backed Islamic militants are plotting a provocation using toxic agents in Syria's Idlib province, says this warning quickly followed Syrian Minister of Oil, Mineral Resources, Bassam Tomei, revealing that the total losses in the direct and indirect oil sector in Syria have exceeded $92 billion due to the Americans and their followers acting as pirates in targeting Syrian oil wealth. A warning and revelation that in past normal times would have initiated urgent diplomatic and military talks between Russia and the United States to forestall an escalation towards war. But due to Supreme Socialist Leader Joe Biden refusing to hold a live televised talk with Putin in front of the world to explain his dangerous and unhinged war rhetoric, sees this option being no longer available to have a talk. And though after his refusal, Biden said, "I'm sure we'll talk at some point," this will never happen, as President Putin has accepted the guidance of top Russian diplomatic expert Fyodor Lukyanov to immediately freeze all relations with the United States, as any further engagement with Biden is pointless for now. Russia's freezing all negotiations and relations with the United States. They realize that talking to this man who's struggling with dementia, some of y'all saw him walking to his airplane. He fell 3 times going up the stairs. And some of you all saw where his hand went through the microphone, indicating that it was clearly a green screen and he wasn't there, and that holograms are being utilized because soon your president will be Kamala Harris. But I digress. Recalling Russia's ambassador back to Moscow for consultations was a natural step, but that's not enough. A more reasonable approach would be to freeze Russia-U.S. relations with the exception of some essential technical level aspects. Most importantly, we must prove the U.S. wrong in its conviction that it can act recklessly in all but every aspect of diplomacy while maintaining a useful level of interaction in areas that are important to American national interests. No, Mr. Biden, you cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. Today, we don't see any of that serious or long-term attitude. And we watch the pillars of strategic stability, which used to be the foundation of stability in general, undergoing erosion before our very eyes. Refusing to talk to certain persons once you come into power and threatening everyone and sending ships over there and going across their borders and coasts, intimidating and threatening war. Folks, I'm reading this to you because at any time, if they decide to really get upset, but there's something holding them back, restraining them, they're going to unleash a nuclear arsenal. Biden and them are trying to attack Crimea, which is a religious region in Russia near Moscow that they hold very near and dear as being a spiritual place for them. That's like, you know, bombing Jerusalem. They're like, if he does that, all bets are off. And he's positioned himself to do that. This is becoming America's becoming very reckless. It's as if they're just poking and prodding and begging for someone to help them finish off America and do what they want to see done in America, which is population reduction and destruction. Yesterday, to further notice, Russian ambassador to the United States, Anatoly Antonov, thanked the U.S. citizens who had sent to the Russian embassy letters expressing support for friendly Russian-U.S. relations and apologizing citizens for Biden and Washington's ill-considered moves towards Moscow, with his stating, "I am deeply touched by the caring and active position of ordinary Americans who understand that dialogue between our countries should be based on mutual respect and equality. This approach of U.S. citizens indicates that a potential for normalizing ties between the peoples of Russia and the United States is still there." So they think. Let me skip down. We talked about mental health issues. Biden further displayed yesterday when he couldn't even walk up the stairs of Air Force One without falling over 3 times. Though most dangerously, he put on full display for the communist Chinese a shocking display of mental illness that began when a deranged sex addict gunned down 8 innocent people in Atlanta, Georgia, 6 of whom were Asian women, because he wanted to eliminate temptation. And the FBI is now saying that it had nothing to do with race. Occurring at the same time, Biden was putting on this full display of mental illness, because he totally ignored what happened in Atlanta and began to talk about racism, and Kamala was there backing him up. putting on a full display of mental illness to change reality, his top diplomats were holding the first meeting with their communist Chinese counterparts in Alaska, a meeting wherein even the leftist Washington Post had to honestly report the Biden administration gets a taste of China's wolf warrior diplomacy. Chinese told everyone that Biden's diplomats had a strong smell of gunpowder and drama, and they were trying to dog China and talk to them. And China made it clear to them that the U.S. does not have the qualification to speak to China from a position of strength any longer. And how they, Biden and Blinken's unprovoked attacks on Russia and China are backfiring. Because if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. What does that have to do with anything? This is what China actually said to them in the meeting. China chastised the U.S. He said China accused the U.S. of slaughtering black folks and not taking care of their own black people in the United States. Believe it or not, people, this is something that Hitler said before he attacked, that America has no idea that they are possessing God's jewelry, his real Jews, and what they're doing to them, they're going to have to pay. China is now saying that, said that this week up in Alaska. Don't talk crazy to us. You don't have that strength anymore like we have. And plus, look at what you're doing to the black people in your area, in your region. So we have Gog and Magog, China and Russia, laying in wait and ready to let the bombs fly due to everybody saying, get Trump out of office and hurry up and get Biden and Kamala in so that we can see the end of democracy. He said Americans have little faith in democracy. This is China. During their ill-tempered talks. And, you know, this actually happened also with Ahmadinejad out of Iran. He went to the United Nations and chastised them about unfair treatment of blacks in America. So people, the whole world is standing on the outside watching this place implode because she is the daughter of Babylon with Astarte, Statue of Liberty, representing what people thought was freedom and the American dream, which has turned into a tyrannical oligarchy system ran by a bunch of communists that ultimately want to see our people destroy because of the prophecy that's in the Bible. Now you see why I say that we're at the center of a lot of political upheaval, and it's starting to come to the forefront. It's starting to brim over. You will hear, let my people go. The thing is where do we go? Because the land we came from is being trampled over, possesses nuclear bombs, and the world is being lied to, but the lie is being uncovered about who the true people of Yah are. So much for that in current events. That's all I'm going to cover today about that. I thought that was quite a bit to happen in our world. And while we're all busy talking about, are you getting the shot? Did you get the shot? While y'all talking about the shots, might be a nuclear bomb flying your way in a couple of weeks. And there are laws being passed to destroy you. There's so much I could read, but I don't reserve this time on the Shabbat for that. I just wanted to get your attention on some things because, as I said, it's a understanding of our history that will bring you into the truth, that will point you to the Most High and a relationship with Him that will give you peace in this hour. So let's continue uncovering some of these lies before we get ready to get into the title and theme of our lesson today. Like I said, the show is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. You can find that page on Facebook. Go to Facebook and type in the entire phrase, Black Cultural Restoration Association. We have equipped this page with so much historical information. You'll see pictures of some of our artwork so you can better understand our culture. You have to understand the colonizers claimed that our ancestors had no culture value for themselves, but the beautiful treasures they stole from Jerusalem when it was trampled under feet in 70 AD, when our temples were destroyed back in pre-captivity, running throughout Africa. The thing was to gather all of the artifacts, the information, the documents, and the artwork, which was more than often made of gold, silver, precious metals. Sometimes I kind of get upset. It's like a scene out of Black Panther, going to the museums and seeing our artwork stolen. And he made a reference to that where there was some priceless artwork in there. And he mentioned the fact that how they got it from the people, it was a stolen artifact that's inside of a museum now that people are paying money just to take a look at. While they dehumanized us and said that we were savages, but we were colonized, conquered due to our disobedience to the Most High. So there's one particular thing post on the page that I'd like to read out to you. You really need to understand our people are, this Bible is for our people and written for our people. And you'll find a lot of great preachers that are on there that are of another nation, another race that are telling us that we're people. And I know we have this stigma since we're under Stockholm Syndrome of being quick to believe another nation telling us who we are, as opposed to someone of our same nation, our tribes, telling us that we are the people of Yah and that we have a mandate to come back to him. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the Willie Lynch letters, the curses of Deuteronomy 28. But anyway, if you go to that page, you'll find some other teachers of other nations telling you who you are as a people. There's also a great post on there about E1B1A haplogroup, so you can understand genetics, not ancestry.com, but the true genetics of the true Israelites. They have the artifacts. They found books. They found tablets. They found bones. Through the bones, they were able to extract DNA and genetics. Your blood that was pooled in the hospital, along with the genetics that they've extracted, there's a match. And they have found that some of you have the same haplogroup and blood of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Abraham. It was already in Time magazine that said those people over there in Israel do not have the same genetic makeup as Abraham. If you put two and two together with the flow of technology, you would understand that they know. Now let's eradicate before there's a redemption coming their way. And that eradication is coming through a synergistic effect of medications and frequencies and air and food, clothing, oppression, depression, suicide, vaccinations. It's being done, and it has a higher effect on people that are sinning against their own bodies and sinning against their own God. And that sinning is a dietary sin as well, which is making you sick to your stomach, what you put in your mouth. So not only are you having a pork and bacon sandwich, but you're making your body sick because he did not create you to ingest that. He said swine is unclean for you. Don't even consider it a food. I made the swine to be the garbage disposer of the earth. It will eat a human, a dog, an animal, feces, and keeps all this toxicity inside the meat, which is why it's salty. And was given to us as slaves because we couldn't afford nothing else. And it caused us to be sickly and shorten our lives. When you know better, you do better. Let me read a little bit of this article real quick about us and the European imposters I spoke of in Revelations 2 and 9, 3 and 9. You'll find this article on the Black Cultural Restoration Association page. With the picture of Morgan Freeman, I can't say the expletives that are under his face, but it says, explain this-ish. So you can just look for it. Who should possess the land of Israel? Christian evangelicals say it should be the descendants of Abraham. They point to the Old Testament and claim that Yah gave this land forever to the descendants of Abraham, and that God demands they and they alone own the land. Now, to the Christian evangelical, this means the Jews. Yes, it is the Jews who own this land, and it is their land forever. But in 2008, Russian archaeologist Dmitry Vasilyev unearthed fragments from the long-lost capital of the kingdom of Khazaria. New DNA science proves that today's Jews come from Khazaria and are not the seed of Abraham. The Jews then, according to Christian evangelicals, are the descendants of Abraham, his seed. DNA science confounds the common wisdom. There is only one problem, and it is a huge one. Science proves those who call themselves Jews are not Jews. DNA science has confounded the Christian evangelicals by proving conclusively that most of the people in the nation of Israel and in world Jewry are not the descendants of Abraham. Those living today who profess to be Jews are not of the ancient Israelites. They're Jewish, kind of like, because they follow our customs, but they don't accept the Messiah. They're waiting on one who will be called the Antichrist. I continue. They are not the seed of Abraham. In fact, the new DNA research shows that the Palestinians actually have more Israelite blood than do the Jews. The nation of Israel today is populated with 7.5 million imposters. The Jews are not Jews, but are Khazarians. Now, let's get this right. They're the Khazarians that migrated due to the Balfour Treaty, but there was already an influx of converted false Jews that came out of Rome during the Hasmonean dynasty, as I told you, during Greek captivity, and during the times of Herod when Christ was young. There were fake converted Jews in positions of political power, such as King Herod, that put out an edict to kill the firstborn of all Hebrew families, kill the firstborn son, because they knew that Yeshua was going to be born. So these people, there's always been converts trying to hang around us, but they start twisting the commandments and try to be staunch with it, because we remember that they kept throwing the laws in Yeshua's face. What about this? What about this? To see if they could catch him to slip up. So we have a number of converts. This is exciting to me, because why do so many people want to be us? Has that stopped today? I continue. Dr. Aaron Elaik, a geneticist researcher at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, found that today's Jews originated from Khazaria and not Israel. They are not the seed of Abraham. The newest DNA science findings is from Dr. Aaron Elaik, a Jew, and associates at the McCusick Nathans Institute of Genetic Medicine, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, in research accepted December 5, 2012, and published by the Oxford University Press on behalf of the Society of Molecular Biology and Evolution. It was found that the Khazarian hypothesis is scientifically correct. See, this comes out and it's swept under the carpet immediately. The guy who found this out is a false converted Jew speaking Yiddish, not worshiping our Savior. He found out that they're Khazars, Romans, Amalekites, Esau, Edom. What exactly is the Khazarian hypothesis? Simply stated, it holds that the Jewry genome is a mosaic of ancestries which rise primarily out of the Khazars. Jews are Khazars, not Israelites. The Jews of America, Europe, and Israel are descendants not of Father Abraham, but of King Bulan and the people of ancient Khazaria. Khazaria was an amalgam of Turkic clans who once lived in the Caucasus Mountains of southern Russia. In the early centuries, these Turkish people were pagans who converted to Judaism in the 8th century. It's important that you understand that. They were pagans at first, because you're going to find out how there's so much paganism in Christianity today and where that came from, which is why the title of this lesson that I'm going to go into is Yahushua, the original strange fruit. The people of Israel are not deceived. We read that. There are no blood or family connections among the Jews, said Dr. Ilyich in an interview with Haaretz, Israel's daily newspaper. The various groups of Jews in the world today do not share a common genetic origin. Their genome is largely Khazar. The Khazarians never in Israel converted to Talmud Judaism in the 8th century. God did not give the land to the Khazars. Thus, yes, the Khazarians, but let's be clear, they follow the Talmud, which references Yeshua. They call him Jesus, but they mention him in that book. I don't know why they keep talking about him in every book. Islam, Mormon, they want to mention him, but want to diminish him. And in the book Talmud, it says that Yeshua is in hell, buried in excrement, blasphemous. As I mentioned, and this article says, the Jews are in Israel for one reason and one reason only, because the United States in 1948 recognized the nation of Israel and has since funded and protected it. God's word has nothing to do with it. America is behind this. It was called the Balfour Treaty. God's word, the Holy Bible, prophesied that in the last days, imposters would erroneously and falsely claim to be Jews. These imposters would, the Bible told us, persecute their enemies and especially Christians, but God would have his revenge. They really want to sit on us because they don't want us saying, you trying to be us, because we're coming for the land, but now's not the time to be in the land. They know that they're emulating the true Hebrew man, which is a man melanated of color, a black man, the same color as the Messiah, as described in Revelations, the first chapter. Revelations 3 and 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship at your feet and know that I have loved thee. Oh, there's a day of reckoning coming. Article goes on to say, do the Jews, Khazars, not do exactly as our God prophesied? That's why you see them over this medicine. They're in the Illuminati Council, the secret chambers, those Rockefellers and all of them. A lot of them have changed their names to Roman names, European names, English names to hide behind some of these Russian and Khazari names that they have. Do they not persecute the Palestinians and defile the land? I pause. The biggest gay pride parade they used to have every year with 250,000 people showing up to desecrate the land, claiming they are its original inhabitants. This even though their proven ancestors, the Khazars, never set foot in the Middle East and are not the seed of Abraham. Many thanks to Dr. Aaron Ilyich of Johns Hopkins University and to his associates. You have performed a valuable service with your DNA research, both to Christianity and to world understanding. Ilyich's research confirms earlier DNA studies, especially the work of Dr. Aurelia Oppenheim of Hebrew University, who likewise found out in 2001 that the Jews came from the Khazars rather than the Israelites. Dr. Oppenheim even found that some of the Palestinians have the chromosomes proving they are Kohen, which was ministers, Levitical, related to the ancient Israelites who worked in the synagogues and the temples, as John the Baptist's dad did as well. So the science is out there, the genetic is out there. They're just counting on your ignorance and you rejecting it. And you hate your own people telling you that you're the people when doctors and scientists at universities already know. And they're looking at the plight of the people, which is why they're considering the reparations to try to calm you down. But that's not what we want. We want total restorative justice and to be back in the land. And we want something that man can't give us, and we're not looking for man to give it, because I don't even trust those around us who are trying to control us because they took some crumbs off of their master's table. Those people are called Prince Hall Masons, Boule Masons. Those are your well-to-do blacks who they've allowed to be rich to put a carrot in your face and say, you too can be like me if you just dream and work hard and never give up on your dreams. And what they got was a falsehood. They're being told what to do and their money's being controlled, which is why when they get old, they end up broke, bankrupt, dead, or in jail. Hence, Bill Cosby. You're not running anything. We are in our final captivity because we did not want to keep the Ten Commandments and be a true people with some dignity and diplomacy, integrity through the scriptures. We can come back to where we were as a people in our minds and hearts and spirits first, and then physically we'll end up back there. I'm going to take a brief break from reading that. Got a few more things to read. So when I come back, we'll get into some excerpts of the book, and then we'll move into the lesson.
Of your soul.
peace and blessings. Brothers and sisters, welcome back to The Awakening, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I am B, the preacher, and this is brought to you not only by Black Cultural Restoration Association, but by the Most High and the Time of Awakening of His People, Information Incorporated. Let me go into something that I was speaking of before we left, which was Israelites being of the Khazars and us seeing this migration to Israel away from the Palestinians. It's important that you understand the Hellenistic age of the Hasmonean dynasty and how it was a ruling dynasty of Judea and the surrounding regions. It survived about 103 years before the Herodian dynasty came into play. So, well, I used to tell people that little part in our history book, not Bible, that comes from a Greek word too called biblios, which means tree bark. It's just a compilation of scrolls. And a lot of the people that had something to do with which books were going in that scroll, the Nicene Council and Council of Trent, they were haters of the one true God. And they promoted the confusing teachings of Paul and said, let's put the majority of his books in here. And let's separate the two gods. This Herodian and Hasmonean dynasty took place, as some people would say, in between the Testaments, because they can't account for the years, but it's found in the book of Maccabees, those years where they say God went silent. Absolutely not, never. Always checking, looking, and watching. So we go from the Hasmonean dynasty to the Herodian dynasty, and what you have are a group of Idumeans. Idumea comes from the word Edom, so these people come from Edomites. They were Romans. So you had a group parading with us during the time of Yeshua, Christ. And then you have these people, they begin to grow. You have more that come from the Caucasus Mountains, the Russian group. And you have all these factors of these people who are not us, none of them. And it's been proven, we just read it, scientifically, medically, DNA-wise, that are all occupying the land. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, when we are restored in the land, we will study war no more. And Israel holds one of the biggest nuclear arsenals in the world, and they're threatening all the Muslim countries, which is why they're seeking peace over there. When the real people are back in the land, artifacts that belong to the land will be returned, including the Ark of the Covenant. This is what I tell you about the scholars. They understand and know this. We have to open up our minds and prepare ourselves to know this and not be trapped in the distractions of Black Lives Matter and what's happening here around us. There's a duplicitous aspect to everything that transpires. What you can see that you can use, but then there's something in the backdrop that's being done too. So, and you don't even see that or know that that was the original intent and purpose. So anyway, I just wanted to break down those that time for you so you can see that there's been an influx for years of people trying to assume our identity. There's something about people not liking people using the word chosen people. But last week, we already went over it where God said the other nations are like spit to me. That's in one of the books that they took out. And nobody wants to hear that. What you need to know is that it's not like you can't be down. If you want to align yourself with a culture and worship, as we've been doing for the last 400 years, we fell into everybody's religion and worshiped all their gods. We went to their yoga classes and worshiped Mahavishnu, whatever her name is, and we went to the Buddhist classes, and we did the Buddha, light the incense, and took their gung fu classes and ate their food. We've gone and knocked on people's doors on Saturdays, talking about Watchtower and made people rich. We've did Ellen White, who just took the Sabbath, kept that, but didn't keep no other commandments and followed her. White woman who's dead, and they still worship her bones at her grave. That's Seventh-day Adventist. We've done all these things. There's only one true God, and they have to come back to us. So when we fall in line, the world can fall in line behind us, the remnant that will go in to realize this is cultural. This is history. This is nation. This is real. Do me a favor and go into the archives and listen to some of the other lessons. Go back to how this all first started. There were fallen angels. Brothers and sisters, they put it in your face. Everything's hidden in plain sight. When you see the Paramount movies coming on, that logo with the stars around Mount Hermon, They are depicting the fallen watchers, angels, that Genesis, the sixth chapter says, fell, left their first estate, and laid with the daughters of men, made them wives. That's history, but you've been taught that it's Greek mythology. No, brothers and sisters, this happened. And the offspring became giants. And you've seen some of these bones on the internet, but they won't bring it out. They won't bring the giants' bones to the museum. They only want to bring to the museum what they've stolen from our people. 10 tribes came to America first. Dr. Martin Luther King found this out. He knew this. He was upset. He was getting ready to write up something for reparations for our people before he was murdered. He found out that we were the indigenous of the land. 10 tribes. You look at 2 Esdras 13:59. They came over here to a land where they could keep their commandments, keep their religion. I've been reading out of a book, and I'm going to continue with some more excerpts out of the book called A View of the Hebrews, working like a Hebrew slave, or The Tribes of Israel in America by Ethan Smith, written in the early 1800s, when they swore up and down that we were never going to be able to read. I want to read an excerpt from a page or two. And we've been just taking out bits and pieces because it's validating how they said these people are the lost tribes. They know who we were. He said, under the seventh agreement, in conformity to or after the manner of Jews, the Indian Americans have their prophets, high priests, and others of a religious order. As the Jews had a sanctum, sanctorum, holy of holies, excuse me, so have all the Indian nations. There they deposit the consecrated vessels, and none of the laity daring to approach the sacred place. The Indian tradition says that their fathers were possessed of an extraordinary divine spirit by which they foretold things future and controlled the common course of nature, and this they transmitted to their offspring, provided they obeyed the sacred laws. So what he's showing you some Indian customs that were accustomed to the Hebrew customs, that were akin to the Hebrew customs. That sanctum of sanctums was the Holy of Holies, and they put that was the Ark of the Covenant for us that was allowed inside the inner circle of the temple, the depiction of the temple of Yah. And the Indians were following the same customs. Where could they have gotten that from? Doing some of the same things that were purported in the scriptures, the scrolls. In the name of all their priestly order and their pontifical office descends by inheritance to the eldest. There are some traces of agreement, though chiefly lost, in their pontifical dress. Before the Indian Archimagus officiates in making the supposed holy fire for the yearly atonement for sin. Now, brothers and sisters, in Leviticus 23, Hebrew customs, every year we have what's known as the Day of Atonement, where we repent for the sins we've committed throughout the year before we get around to the new year. It's going to be sometime around August or September of this year. American Indians doing this in the 1700s and 1800s. What happens? Atonement for sin. The Sagan, the high priest, clothes him with a white ephod, which is a waistcoat without sleeves, in resemblance of the Urim and Thummim. The American Archimagus wears a breastplate made of a white conch shell with two holes bored in the middle of it, through which he puts the ends of the otter skin strap and fastens a buckhorn, white button, to the outside of it, each as if imitation of the precious stones of the Urim, trying to do the Urim and Thummim stone that the prophets used to use, the priests, back in early Old Testament days. This is thousands of years later that they are carrying these customs in another country, another land. In this statement, Mr. Adair exhibits evidence of which himself seems unconscious. He says the general name of all their priestly order is Ish Toalo, and the name of the high priest waiter is Sagan. Mr. Faber, remarking upon this, thinks the former word is a corruption of Ish de Eloah, which means a man of God. And you find this in 2 Kings 21, 22, 25, 27, and 40. And of the latter word, he says, Sagan is the very name by which the Hebrews called the deputy of the high priest who supplied his office and who performed the functions of it in the absence of high priests. See Calmet's dictionary, Vox Sagan. Here then is evidence to our purpose that those Indians should call their order of priests and the high priest waiter by those ancient Hebrew names of a man of God and a deputy of the high priest. How could these events have occurred had not these natives been Hebrew and brought down these names by Hebrew tradition? Then it goes on to talk about more Mosaic institutions that they found amongst the people, the Tetragrammaton. We'll get into some of that next week. Just wanted to read a little bit. They were fascinated being explorers, Spaniards, that everything they had read about as far as the culture and customs of the original Hebrews throughout the scriptures and scrolls, the history books, they were seeing amongst what people think are those Indians you saw fighting cowboys on TV. Now, they were a portion of the 10 tribes that scattered and escaped. Escaped Assyrian captivity. Let's see, Assyrian, let me pull up the time frame. And then we're going to get into this lesson. Give you some encouraging words. Assyrian captivity was during the time of 733 to 740 BCE. And that was, that siege was started by Shalmaneser. And those 10 tribes were captives. They escaped. The only persons that were not a part of the 10 tribes was the southern tribe. 10 tribes were the northern tribes of Israel that you read about after David messed up and his sons began to try to take over the kingdom and there was infighting and Solomon. That's when everything got split up. It became the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which consists of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. And they were the ones that went into slavery, fleeing in 70 AD and running down into Africa and the Atlas Mountains and being a part of a slave trade that was pushed by the Arabs, Muslims, because we wouldn't convert, Catholics, due to the Spanish Inquisition, Constantine, who we're about to get into, and I mentioned the Khazar Jews, the Arabs, and the Hamites, the Africans that were there, who are not the same as us. They're a Hamitic people. Egypt, Ethiopia, Put, Libya, all those islands in those regions. Hamitic, that pushed a cultured people into servitude and slavery. And till this day, we're still stuck up under the Stockholm syndrome of loving, supporting, and worshiping our colonizers, conquerors, who have beat this into us, twisted our scriptures, our history book, even had our black preachers that still do it to this day, preaching only 3 sermons to us. This is all the slave was allowed to preach until Nat Turner, who could read very well, he woke up and started really reading what he was reading and understanding and was able to comprehend it and was like, wait a minute, this is us. This is why they try to keep you out the Old Testament, because you start to see the similarities of customs and cultures. You know, when you read some of the Old Testament, you'd be like, that can't be nobody but us. But anyway, he began to see the scriptures for what they were and began to awaken a people, as I seek to do with you all, so that your fight won't be for so-called justice in this place, but for the justice that's coming, because the Most High is the habitation of justice. So let me not get off the beaten path. Those 10 tribes were already scattered throughout the diaspora. And we came along, and then we were taken into the diaspora, mostly South America. But then there was the sub-Saharan slave trade, so some of us went up into Europe and England, and our people had to flee Europe as well, too, because when we, before there was the Renaissance period and Spaniards and Romans took over, there was what was known as the Dark Ages. King James 1 through 6 were men of color before we were ran out of there, and they're still running us out of there. Ask Meghan Markle. as they try to lay claim to the throne. And they have the actual artifacts. They actually have the stone that Jacob laid his head on and had a vision and dream of Jacob's ladder of angels going through the portals, going in and out of heaven. These people fight over these relics. You thought Raiders of the Lost Ark was just a movie. This is real. You're only being shown a portion of what's happening. And some of these artifacts have power, and they know it, and they're priceless. Want to be us. Let us work on being us. So that's all I'm going to do today out of that book and covering that history, because I want to get into some of these scriptures and get into the lesson. I want to read something. Maybe out of Zechariah. I'm still here. Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to see if I want to read this to you right now. I'm just getting to the lesson. Let's go ahead and get ready to get into this lesson. Yeshua, the original strange fruit hanging from that tree. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Remove the scales from the eyes of my people. Open up their hearts and spirit, and may it fall on good ground. We worship you on this day, that you have made the original day of worship, true day of the Lord, may I save the world, the Sabbath. All right, let's get it. I'm going to go to Acts, the 5th chapter. Got a lot to bring out. And plenty of time. Acts the 5th chapter and the 30th verse. I'll read it as it's written, even though I don't like using these names that they've injected, because the word God is a title, and it's not his name. His name is Hayah. The God of our fathers raised up Yesha, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, hung from a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel, so we can get it right, and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, the Waruach, whom Yah hath given to them that obey him. I love that scripture too, because it means that you're not getting the Spirit until you obey. And what do you have to obey? Keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You disobey him when he says, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, honor your mother and father. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Idolatry, that's a big one. Covetousness and idolatry. The world is pimping everybody, especially you Hebrews, through idolatry and covetousness. You always want something, never satisfied. Eat from food to clothing to lifestyles to vacations to another mate. And then that moves into idolatry, where you begin to worship certain aspects of life. You worship your kids. You worship your car. You worship your house. You worship your sexuality. Homosexuals and lesbians, you think you're the best thing since sliced bread because you worship the lifestyle. You're in sin, so you're disobedient to him. And he told you to abstain from those things because they're abomination. Just because man changes his laws doesn't mean that God changes and follows man. Yah doesn't follow no man. So you've got to remain and be steadfast. But let's go back to the fact that Yah said in verse 30, I raised up Jesus, Yeshua, whom you slew, because they said, give us Barabbas and let his blood be upon our children's children. We don't want him. We're not accepting him as king. We don't want him to be our king. Denied him. Give us a real thief. And we still reject it. And the reason it's rejected, because it's been taught to us during the times of slavery 400 years ago in a dogmatic way, to where our people are so angry that we call it the white man's book. If I was the white man, I wouldn't want to call this book my book, because the Obadiah says that Edom will be destroyed, all of Edom and Esau. And then when you start to understand lineage, you see that Idumea, Esau, Edom, Amalekites, Khazars, you see that's the ones they're talking about in Obadiah. They're going to be destroyed. This is a white man's book? As I said, those of you that don't have that much melanin can be grafted in. But you need to fall back and be taught, because the oracles were not given to you, and you present them from a different, you don't have the same passion that we have to fight through to bring this forth, which is why we're equipped with the Holy Spirit that gives us power through obedience. Most people think he hung from a cross, but even before I get into that, let me read something to you, since we're talking about Stockholm Syndrome. There's another term, let's see if I can pull it up, that I want to talk about. It's called, you may have heard of this, it's called the Judas Complex. Judas is responsible for Yeshua hanging from a tree. It's good to talk about this, because we know in a few more weeks we'll be celebrating Passover, where Daniel prophesied that in the midst of the week it would transpire. He headed to Jerusalem 6 days early. But it was upon that night, Judas had already betrayed him. They came and got him and took him through a series of beatings and torture until they hung him, and then he arose on the Sabbath. I want you to hear something, though. What is a Judas complex? Judas is the one who betrayed him, but he may not have known until the end that he was a traitor. And this is amazing when you think about it. Judas was the only disciple that had an administration background. The rest of them were workers. The rest of them were fishermen, tent makers. Let me read this a little more. He did not know he was one of treason. In his vision or theory, Judas was a true disciple, a believer, a student, in his mind, and a true follower. His problem was that he was still worldly in his thinking. Like a lot of us. He lacked faith, which a lot of us don't have. We have fear now. Pastors running to get the shot and giving their parishioners the shot on Sunday mornings in their heliocentric worship houses. Judas, he was not fully or properly recognizing Yeshua for who he was. And at some point in his early discipleship, neither did the other 11 recognize him for who he was. Thomas came late after the resurrection because he still didn't believe, and he had to tell Thomas to put his finger in his side. Most of them didn't fully understand the Godship of Yeshua until after the resurrection. Who Judas thought he was following and following Christ was the prophesied Messiah, who Judas thought and truly believed would rise to become king of Israel. and the 12 would become sub-kings. That's a much more worldly picture because he wanted power and prestige and the covetousness again. Judas was the only one of the 12 who came from an administrative background to whom politics and associated political compromise were quite familiar. The others were all simple, I hate politics, simple working men, mostly fishermen. They were not polished speakers or scholars, because Paul was a scholar as well, but he came later. They were direct, ordinary working men who had little or no experience with or understanding of politics. Our political mashups. Judas, however, knew more than they how to get things done and help Jesus, Yeshua, rise to power. He may have seen himself as potentially becoming the grand wazer, his vice president, if you will, assistant king, personal advisor, perhaps second in command of the new kingship. Whether that was true or not, in Malachi Martin's theory, Judas fully intended to do everything in his power to help Jesus become the king of the Jews. He didn't understand that Yeshua didn't need his help and didn't want it. He didn't understand that Yeshua's kingdom was not of this world. He was trying to get him to become a king in this world as if he was on a campaign running for president or mayor, which is why he was doing things in a worldly way and having secret councils and meetings about turning him over, collecting money. And then not only that, Judas, he was the one that you found complaining when Mary Magdalene broke the box of sweet spikenard ointment on Christ's feet and began to wash his feet before his crucifixion. And he said, why, how dare you waste money like that? That's money that we could have utilized. So there is a, I just bring this up to you so you'll understand the Judas complex. And how many people don't have the faith and they get caught into the wrong understanding of thinking that the Messiah needs your help to get things done. And he had to die on that cross. And Judas was utilized through his misunderstanding and his altered, skewed view of him that he had made a mistake. So he didn't even feel like he was a betrayer or know he was a betrayer until towards the end. That's all I'm going to do, go into that, because that's like a whole nother lesson I would want to get into on a Saturday about the Judas complex and how it works today. And we see it constantly today around different people. Let me go back to the tree and the strange fruit. A lot of you have heard the song by Billie Holiday about strange fruit, but you need to understand something. There's a reason why slaves were hung from trees, and it goes back to our Messiah hanging from a tree. And Acts 5 and 30 and 32 makes it clear that it was a tree. So where did all of this stuff come from? Well, first, let's go through some scriptures about the tree. We did Acts 5 and 30. Let's look at Acts 10 and 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. I bet you never really heard this in church and just kept seeing the cross, because Deuteronomy 28 said that our people would walk away from the commandments and worship wood and stone. And now you have a crucifix, a cross, which we're going to get into the origin of it soon, inside these pagan temples that you call churches that are stuck in helio worship, which is worship of the sun. And they look at that cross and write songs about that cross. And Mecca is that stone that the Muslims go to every year and Ramadan and all that to worship a stone. So it's been altered. Nobody wants to read the Bible anymore that it was a tree. Acts 13 and 29 reads, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of them, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. The reason you didn't hear this is because they still have the lynching laws in place and they won't remove them from the books. They still want to hang you and your people from trees as they did during the days of slavery. Let's go to another one in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. The 21st chapter, and reading at verse 22, it says, And if a man have committed a sin, this is the book of the law written by Moses to put the people back in line. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. So we read that in the New Testament that Christ hung from a tree because he took on the curses and sins of the world and then went down into hell to get the keys to death and hell and take them from Satan and set the captives free. But this was a custom amongst our people that has always been in place, not the electric chair, not war and shooting and kill. No, hanging from a tree, as Christ hung from a tree. The Bible says that even when we came over here as slaves, according to Psalms 137, that we realized that we weren't going to be able to worship and praise Yah the way we used to. So we hung our harps on trees, willow trees. Later that's used for shade, but later we'd be hung from these trees. The slaves, and these willow trees are really indicative of the South. You find these various types of trees down there. We hung our harps on the trees saying, how can we sing in a strange land? Because they required of us. I love the scripture, Psalms 137, 2 through 4. They wanted us to give them mirth and songs. In other words, entertain me. And you don't even realize that with your football, basketball, baseball drafts, your American idols, your tap dancing, your jazz, your blues, your gospel, what happened in Psalms is still happening today. Entertain me, which is why they could say all of you are entertainers or dope dealers. Let's read it. Psalms 137, verse 2. And then I want to go into this cross, Constantine. Really being deceived, not paying attention. Verse 2, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Let me read the first verse. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. This is a prophetic song being written about them going into captivity by the rivers of Babylon, America, the daughter of Babylon, and they wept that they had been snatched from Jerusalem. They had already been told by Moses in Deuteronomy and in our scrolls and books that this was going to happen if we were not obedient. For there, they that carried us away captive, what is that? That's Deuteronomy 28:68, captive cargo ships. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. Sing, nigga, sing. And they that wasted us required of us mirth. You know, that's joking and coon face and black face and sing us one of them songs of Zion. And that's all you'll ever notice that the slaves always sang about. They didn't sing about nothing in what you call Africa. They sung about the Red Sea, Moses, go down most Mount Zion. And they sung about everything over there and they wept, because they knew they would never see it again, because it had been already prophesied if you didn't straighten up. This is what was going to transpire to your people. Let's get into some of the origins of this cross real quick. First of all, those who truly follow the Most High don't use that cross or wear golden crosses around your neck. That's idolatry. And the most important reason why a lot of people take it off, because they know he did not die on a cross. He died on something that in the Greek was translated as stavros, which basically means a stake. And it was a long piece of tree. It never meant two pieces of timber placed across one another at any angle. There's nothing in the Greek of the New Testament even to imply two pieces of timber. We already read Acts 5 and 30, but we can find more scriptures in Galatians 3:13, 1 Peter 2 and 24. The word simply means timber or tree. trees were not everywhere available at the places chosen for public execution. So sometimes when there wasn't a tree around, they would bring one of these beams and sink it into the ground and hang outlaws. It's amazing, folks, that this stuff happened all throughout slavery. Just follow us. Then Paul, Apostle Paul, says that Yeshua purchased us through this death on the tree, releasing us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse instead of us. So he had to hang from that tree. He had to, because it's written in Galatians 3 and 13, cursed is every man that hangs upon a tree. And this went all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. So there's no evidence within the first 300 years after Yeshua's death that those claiming to be Christians, which we never utilized, because Yeshua never told us to go make Christians. He never would have said, go make words that mean only mean the anointed one, which goes back, as we read, back to BCE, during the time of Alexander the Great, Antiochus, Epiphanes, Ptolemies. We see that they were calling people Christian then, before our Savior came on the scene. But no one was worshiping a cross. It was in the fourth century that a pagan emperor by the name of Constantine became a convert to apostate Christianity, which was an offshoot of Roman Catholic Church, and then trying to synthesize Hebrew customs. He promoted the cross as its symbol, and the soldiers would put the cross on their shields. Constantine's motive, the cross had nothing to do with Yeshua. The cross, in fact, pagan in origin. If you look in the New Catholic Encyclopedia, admits the cross is found in both pre-Christian and non-Christian cultures. Various other authorities have linked the cross with nature worship and pagan sex rites. That ankh represents the male sexual energy and the female sexual energy. You are wearing idolatry, which is breaking the commandments, and you're attracting that energy to yourself. It has never had anything to do with our Savior. So why that those heliocentric places that you walk into on Sundays have to change completely and go back to the original day of worship, take down your pagan idols, and keep the holy days of Leviticus 23. But Most High and shut them down. Why then was this pagan symbol promoted? Apparently to make it easier for pagans to accept Christianity, because they were bringing in pagan sex rites. Devotion to any pagan symbol is clearly condemned by the Bible. I'm sorry. If they did it ignorantly, the Most High blinks upon the ignorance. But those of you who now know, you got a cross hanging up in your house or around your neck, needs to come off or down. Anything that symbols this cross, because here's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, Exodus 20, 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 10 and 14. If you really love our Father, you do not wear this madness. Also, you'd be surprised to know that, and let me see if I can find this. I got to find my notes. Where are my notes? Where are my notes? Where are my notes? Give me 1 second. Judas originally saw, some of y'all not going to really care for this, but give me one moment. I thought I had this saved. I'm going to read about Helena, but there is what he saw was called a chiro and not a cross. And a chiro was a strange symbol. It was a very strange symbol, which they finally derived that pagan cross from, and had people worshiping it because it was a pagan symbol to a fallen deity, Jupiter and Saturn. And so even what Constantine originally drew up and put together was not two beams going side to side. It was actually like the letter P with an X going on top of the letter P, which is why I tell a lot of people to be careful about symbols and tattoos that they get done. I strongly have always disagreed with the Prince symbol because it looks like the Chiru cross that Constantine saw in a vision. And these symbols attract demonic entities and spirits. You wonder why you're scratching and itching in the name of artwork. I've done it. We've done it. Go through the house and eliminate as many pagan deities and symbols as possible. But the ones that you neglect to get rid of are the ones that had nothing to do with Yeshua. The strange fruit that hung upon the poplar trees and southern trees was our people, the slaves. And the reason that that custom continued, because it was a curse that they wanted to curse our people as they want to today by getting us to participate in abominable things, eat unclean foods, and not come back into compliance with our God, but worship the gods that they give us because we have Stockholm Syndrome. And then after that, we take on the Judas complex, turn on our people, especially ones that wake us up to the truth, and have them crucified by thinking you're doing a good thing, like the brother did in the Black Messiah movie about Fred Hampton in Chicago. He said he was doing the right thing by taking people out who wouldn't be complicit with other nations, fall in line and be a Sambo, a good Sambo, and dance and sing and give us mirth. Talking about killing people. So I'm going to turn you in. This is so much a part of our people. Let me see if I can pull up the information. I didn't really want to go too deep into it. What I wanted you to understand that the strange fruit and the lynching, the cross and the lynching tree is a part of tying in our historical background, culture, evidence, history. When you see this likeness but never add it up and put it together, Yeshua never died on a cross, which comes from pagan origins, which represents paganism and witchcraft and sexual deities. This is why there's so much sensuality in church, because people are, you know, back in the Old Testament, they talked about how people would worship a god called Bacchus, and they would cry for Tammuz, the child of Nimrod and Astarte, through incest. And this is how you have women weeping in church over Tammuz, who's supposed to be born December 25th. This is not the shot. And then, you know, after they would get through with the worship in the temple, they would move right into orgies. Because when there's no spirituality, you are stirring up sensuality. When you get all worked up, you have stimulated yourself. And then you have to come down. Well, they would have sex with the temple prostitutes. And I've seen in my years in church that there's been more hooking up after church, in the church, than in any nightclub in the world. Conversion, very minimal. Why? Because Psalms 19:7 says the law of Yah is perfect, converts the soul of man. Ain't nobody introducing the law on paganized Sunday heliocentric worship of a false image that was beaten into you through slavery. If we're going to come back to our culture, we're going to start to see that the Savior hung from a tree. And where all of this began and where it came from. Let me see if I can pull up some. I thought I already had this saved. One second, bear with me. I'm trying to type in the computer, waiting on the internet to move. It's called a Chiro. After Constantine, Cairo became part of the official imperial insignia. Archaeologists have uncovered evidence demonstrating that the Cairo was emblazoned on the helmets of some late Roman soldiers. So this all tied into Inquisition, comes from a Greek word as well. We talked about what it symbolized. this was around the 4th century, and it was they tried to associate this with our Savior. When you see this image, you know it's satanic in origin, shown to him by a demon, and got all of his soldiers to wear it and his people to wear it. And it represented a sexual deity. Let me say something real quick before I get back into strange fruit, because ain't nothing strange about our Savior. This is why you have to be cautious about tattoos, which he spoke of us not getting in Leviticus. And this is why you have to be cautious about symbols like you, some of you Hebrews go around here wearing what you think is the Star of David, and that's the Star of Remphan, and it's actually a hexagram, a six-pointed star that attracts negative deities and spirits and demons and fallen angels. So don't downplay what you put on, what you wear, and what you put on your skin. It's not to be played with. This cross has nothing to do with our Savior, and it should not be a point of fixation, visual fixation. It's a lie. Our Savior had to be hung from a tree. And unfortunately, many more of our martyrs throughout our cultural existence have hung from a tree. And we see this denoted back even with the children coming out of Egypt, the children of Israel, who wanted to break the laws and move into adultery and abomination. But Christ came and did away with that, so we don't have to die on a tree. But they still keep hanging our people and lynching our people, which in my mind just keeps saying, reminds me of my Savior and the sacrifice he made and what he did. Strange fruit gave us salvation and redemption, understanding, and the ability to return back to our true culture and our God through his crucifixion, where he was able to conquer hell and death. We don't like death. We don't like war, hell. We don't like what might befall us, but we got to trust the entire story that he will come back and the dead in HaMashiach will rise again. We will come back together. I need you to pull out of religiosity, come into spirituality, come back to your culture. Know that you are the Hebrews. It's not about just putting on a garb, dressing like us, fringes. No, you got to have a relationship with the Most High through his Son, and then come to the commandments and understand the culture, because that's how you become set apart, sanctified, and separate yourself from the world, as Judas did not have the ability to do. He thought he was backing Obama, Trump. Let's get it done. Christ said, go do what you got to do. You're about to betray me. You don't even know what you done done. And they used him. And he took the money, you know, his stimulus. So let's be mindful of that bit of history, folks, that he hung from a tree to take on the curses off of us so that we could have freedom. But let's not associate it. Stop falling for the okey-doke. That cross has nothing to do with who you worship or your relationship or your salvation. It's actually a pagan symbol that you should have nothing to do with. Come back to the Father through the commandments, repent, be baptized, be born again. And you don't have to go to church and give somebody your money. He said, what you do to the least of them, you've done also to me. Right now, there's a lot of least of them sleeping on the streets because they're losing jobs, they're losing money, and there's a lot of poverty in the world. There's going to be a food shortage and crisis that's going to hit hard. It's already hit other countries. It's getting ready to hit us hard. Venezuela, it hit them hard. Somebody's purposely holding back unemployment money. People are not getting unemployment money for like 3 and 4 months now. They got all the excuses in the world as to why, but they're bringing our people to their knees. Once we come back to our culture and stop looking to another race to help us, but back to our God who owns everything, come back and save us, then we put our hope in the original strange fruit that hung from the tree for our salvation and our saving, Yeshua HaMashiach. Pray that this word fell on good ears, that you'll be changed, that you'll grow. As I get ready to close by always saying what I say. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat shalom. Peace and blessings to your family. Let's keep growing. Let's take it all in. Lose the fear. And don't let them jab you with nothing to put inside your temple to protect you. Most High is our protection. You don't believe me? Go read Psalms 91. Kwam Yasha Allah. You've been tuned into The Awakening.